We have boys that can play piano but they can't play baseball. Hey, I'm talking about some of you little thumb-sucking mommy's boys.
And now, great sermons from Fundamentalism.
Start with verse number 1. 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. It came to pass that in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. King of Israel said unto the servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? They said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, of whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil.
This is the well-known Young Fundamentalist sermon preached by Jeff Owens at Youth Conference at First Baptist of Hammond. After reading the text, Jeff Owens then rephrases part of it in his own words.
Jehoshaphat noticed what Ahab was doing. Jehoshaphat turns to Ahab and said, Wait a minute, you don't understand. I said the word of the Lord. I said, I'd like to get a man of God in on this thing. Not these 400 pussyfooters. Not these 400 boys that are bought off. Not these 400 boys that are in your corral, son. I'm talking about, is there a man of God?
This is exactly what Jehoshaphat did not do. Let me give the historic background and the context of this passage. So this is my own assessment of the text, based on the text itself, the history of Jehoshaphat as it is told in the Bible, and some commentary from Bible scholars. All students of God's Word recognize that Jehoshaphat should not have joined with Ahab to go to war in the first place. Some scholars believe that Jehoshaphat really was laboring under a misconception about God's will in the matter, as his own father had attacked Israel, and with Ahab's previous and false repentance before God and the ensuing 3 years of peace that God had granted to the land of Israel, Ahab's request to Jehoshaphat to join him as an ally carried with it some possible validity. A true man of God may very well have been deceived by rumors of repentance and the account of a prolonged peace. Jehoshaphat may at first have been laboring under the wrong idea that, as king of Judah, he ought to make peace with the estranged nation of Israel. There's a lesson here that Christian fellowship is not based on claims of following God, or a previous history of following God, or even an appearance of following God, or a desire to be reunited in order to help the rebel follow God, but hard and true evidence of following God. But many scholars allow that the young Jehoshaphat was not wise enough to know that. Yet in traveling to Israel, Jehoshaphat received a clear warning. He saw that Ahab hosted 400 false prophets. These men used the name of the Lord, but their religion probably was one of ecumenism, carrying a notion that Jehovah was just another name for their own chief God, so they obeyed Ahab's command to use Jehovah's name. Of course, I'm guessing on this, but it is apparent from the text that the false prophets cited Jehovah, yet Jehoshaphat and Ahab both knew they were pagan prophets. But Jehoshaphat's request for a true prophet of the Lord is diplomatic and without rebuke. Maybe he was hinting a rebuke, but he never spoke one. As a matter of fact, if you read the text, Jehoshaphat does not defend the prophet of God when Micaiah predicts Ahab's death and Ahab allows a false prophet to strike him and then sends him to prison. Jehoshaphat remains silent and allows Ahab to imprison his own citizen, a true prophet of God, as any pagan king would have allowed Ahab to do without protest. Yet Jehoshaphat knows that he owes a greater allegiance to God than to Ahab's sovereignty over Israel. This was the evidence to Jehoshaphat that Ahab was evil and a rebel against God. Whatever Jehoshaphat's motives were for joining to Ahab, and they may have been pure but misguided, from this point on he is participating in Ahab's rebellion. He has requested the word of the Lord, but having received it, he allows its messenger to be unjustly punished and then proceeds to do exactly what he has been warned against. This sermon is really about God's faithfulness to Jehoshaphat and God's willingness to deliver him out of the trouble he brings upon himself. Jeff Owens, however, takes a very different slant.
I decided that I would hate sin and its effects so much that I would be willing to let people hate me to keep myself right with God.
He never really does preach the text, and he reduces the sermon to two basic points. One, that he has lived a godly life and is very glad of being the godly man that he is. And two, he hits all the gender standards that are so important in his stratum of fundamentalism. But we'll have to discuss this at a later time.